Welcome back to Knox and Nature, the podcast about archery, hunting, hiking, conservation, firearms, and whatever else you feel like talking about. It is episode 22 today. It is our first official episode on a new platform, so please forgive us if audio is still garbage. We're trying to figure this out as we go. But we have Jared today. Say what's up, Jared.
What's up, Jared?
So, yeah, this is a little bit different, obviously, Jared being in Texas. What's the temperature right there right now?
Well, my computer says 61 and sunny, but I have a feeling that's Michigan. So let me check.
It is 77.
Here. What'd you say, Jared?
It is 77.
77, okay.
Yep. It was a little cooler last few days. We had a tornado about 10 miles away from my house.
Yeah, that was cool. He was sending me
had another one updates. About 17 miles away from the house. Two confirmed touchdowns. That was awesome.
There's like
we didn't get any hail, but the night before we did, it was probably quarter size. And then during the tornadoes, we didn't get any, but the towns like where the tornadoes were, they got like softball size hail.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's kind of scary, actually.
Yeah. The only other guy that I know that lived in Texas for a while, his truck got totaled from hail.
That's crazy.
Like
I got coverage.
Yeah.
Did you have any damage to your truck?
No.
That's good. Sweet. So this would have happened several weeks ago now, like a month ago. We were going to talk about this originally, but I guess before we get into the wolf thing, let's talk a little bit about what was going on today. So if you have been listening the past few episodes, I have been talking about this bow build over and over and over again. Finally got the bow. Finally was doing the bow build. Filmed the first part of it. There's going to be more to that when I get home. But I waited until I got here before I actually realized that I don't have enough clearance with the Hamsky Epsilon and the Lift RS. So I have to change my rest, which if you go to the Knox Nature YouTube channel, when the video drops for the bow build, you'll understand a little bit more of what I'm talking about. But that was frustrating. And yeah, the rest of the bow is pretty good. I did put a few arrows through it. There's some complications that we'll talk about in the video, but yeah, it was weird.
It was a weird day. It didn't go quite like we planned, but I think the video is going to turn out good.
Yeah. You know? I mean,
we'll see.
We'll see. But Justin also, surprise bow build. You want to go into depth? First of all, how did this come about? And then we'll get into the plan for it.
Well, I've been trying to figure out how to run two arrow setups, one for 3D, one for hunting on the bow that I have right now, which is a Prime Black 3. And I've been thinking about that or trying to figure out a good compromise between a couple. If I could just run one arrow or if I wanted to kind of switch when I get to hunting season or what. And then I was just cruising Facebook one day, and I don't remember what day was it, Wednesday or something.
Yeah, it was pretty recently.
Yeah, like a couple days ago. And I saw this bow shop in Missouri had the same exact bow as mine, except someone dry fired it, so the cams are bent. And I got it for pretty cheap. So I ordered that. It's supposed to be here tomorrow, the next day. And hopefully it's just the cams and the whole thing's not a pile of garbage. We'll see. But it was kind of sporadic, like, oh, that's cool, I'm going to buy it. And then now I'm doing a bow build, so.
Yeah. So the plan, I think, right now is to first probably get everything together we need for the build, for you to be able to actually build it.
Yep, so I got that rest that Nick is letting me borrow. And I got to find a site. And then, yeah, get some arrows. I'm going to take the whole bow apart and probably paint it. I'm trying to figure out a color that I want to go. I might go orange.
It'd be cool.
I think it'd look kind of cool with all like sparkly, cool orange. And then with those white arrows.
It'd be pretty sweet.
I think it'd look pretty sweet. But we'll see. I don't know.
If you have any suggestions on what color we should paint the bow, feel free to DM us on Instagram.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Because I don't know. But I'm thinking about going orange. But I'm not a huge fan of orange like Jared is. So I don't know. I just feel like it'd look cool.
I mean, you could go white as well if you
wanted
to. I thought
about white, but then I don't want to, like, you have the white bow. You're the white bow guy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do that. Because I thought about doing white with that rainbow sparkly flake in it. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet.
But, you know, I don't want to copy you.
You could do it in a different way, though, too. Because you could even, like, paint the whole thing white and then do, like, a gradient, you know, and have, like, a black to white fade. I mean, it's endless if you're going to take it apart and paint the whole thing anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You could do white whatever you want. White to orange. That'd you could cool. do white to black. You could do blue to white or black to blue or, you know what right. I'm saying? Like, there's
blue to white
so
would be
many.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
With white arrows.
So
I'm stuck on those white arrows for some reason. I don't know why.
Just because they look cool.
I just feel like they look really cool.
It is.
And like, and the thing that I thought about is because like my prime right now is all black. Like black arrows, black, I mean, black everything, black right. quiver. Like the whole thing is just blacked out. And it'd be cool to have a target one that's all white or mostly white.
Oh.
Like, that'd be kind of sweet.
Dude, I just got a visual confirmation on Jared. Yeah, buddy.
Wow.
Nice.
Look at that. You kind of look like the Landman. Are you?
He kind of looks like Tommy.
Are you buying? Are you buying oil out there or what?
Oh, jeez, he's goofing around. Like what are you? You're putting on a helmet right now? Yeah, there you go.
I got Brooke's helmet on for our listeners.
Nice.
Are we going to share this?
No, the video is not going to be shared.
Oh, thank
I don't
God.
Plan on doing that right now.
It'll be on our Patreon.
Yeah, right. Maybe eventually we'll have a video format. I don't know. I don't know how many people, like I personally don't watch podcasts.
I
know
either.
There's like visual aspects to podcasts that people enjoy, but I more so just like listening to them. And so I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Maybe
about
once
that,
I get the room decorated and get a camera mounted to the monitor, so it's not pointed.
Yeah, at yeah. We'll.
Crotch.
I don't know what we're gonna do in this space because we could move stuff around and we can.
Yeah, the only thing
some stuff
like because my mom works here on Mondays.
Yeah,
it's so, like I took her monitor and stuff and moved it for today when we were doing the bow build, but.
We can put something else. We could put a table in that other room or something.
Yeah, we can figure it out. I don't know.
Figure something out. But we're still working through some things. But yeah, I think that's going to be really cool. I don't know that I've ever seen somebody rebuild a bow that was blown up. And so that whole process is going to be on YouTube, including the painting. And I think that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for it. I just got to... I don't know what the timeline is going to look like. We'll see.
Yeah.
Because it is very unexpected, and I got other projects that are tying up my money right now. So,
well, it's not even that. I mean, we're less than a week away or less than a month away from tech.
Right.
It's just a lot. Even with the bow that I have, like, which is kind of why I'm nervous to mess with the Traverse, but even with the lift that I just bought, you know, I kind of have to spend a lot of time with both of those bows here in the next several weeks to get it right where I want it to be, and feel confident at tack.
Does Texas have a tack?
They do. Really? It's already done. It's the first one of the year.
Oh, really?
It was actually, I think, the weekend that Jared was moving down there. They did. Yeah, they have a San Antonio Total Archery Challenge. So,
is it just flat? Is Texas flat?
Texas oh, I don't. It's West Texas, so there might be a little bit of hills and stuff. I honestly don't know.
San Antonio's East Texas, or like Central.
Well,
you thinking of somewhere else?
Probably in my head, but I'm pretty sure the tack is in San Antonio. So,
San Antonio's also a huge city. So, unless they have it, I don't know where they would have it, but. The only big open space I can think of is the national park.
What is that noise? I wonder if it's just on the headphones.
I don't hear anything.
Is it the little whirring noise?
No, there was like a little like... So, yeah, I don't know. So Texas says Natural Bridge Caverns. I don't know where that's at. No idea.
Get to shoot inside a cave. If you miss, you fuck your arrow.
Probably.
That'd be pretty cool.
So I just did Tennessee.
Do the Texas tack next year.
That'd be really cool. Yeah, Natural Bridge Caverns. I don't know. It looks pretty short. Pretty flat, rather. I don't know what I was getting at there, but. It looks pretty flat, but that picture looks like it's taken in Africa.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. There looks like there's at least a little bit of hills and stuff. Yeah, we're just on the Total Archer Challenge Instagram page. But
right. They take the cool shots.
It's pretty cool.
Let's see where it's at. Oh, it's right outside of San Antonio.
Okay. So that would make sense.
So that's, what, a couple hours from you, Jared?
Yeah. I think it's like 2 hours.
Nice. All right, so I want to get into this this dire wolf thing, because again, this happened a while ago, but
I've seen a bunch of stuff, and I admit I haven't done a ton of research, but. It's like when it first came out, everyone was all hyped about it, and then people were saying it's fake and they're not actually real. And
though they are real animals for sure.
Well, yeah, they're real animals, but people are saying that they're not like actually dire wolves. There's some other thing that we've had for a while.
And this, I listened to the podcast with Joe Rogan and the dude from Colossal. I forget his name. And so that is where I heard the most about it. I read a little bit on Colossal's website, but he was pretty much just repeating what was said on the website. You know, it's the same.
Right.
Same type of deal. Basically, he was saying from the dire wolf, they have like fragmented DNA, and there's like certain missing pieces because they're basically creating a clone. And right. So they use, what is that, like CRISPR technology, I think is what it's called. They use a gene editing technology to go in and change the genetics to match the dire wolf genetics. And then I think it was, I don't know if it was a gray wolf or whatever, but basically they changed the genetics of that thing to match the dire wolf based off of the like ancient DNA that they had, because they had enough of a gene sequence to know what it was supposed to look like. And so from my understanding, what the CEO of Colossal was saying is that is people's argument when they say it's not a real dire wolf, is because it wasn't like a natural born dire wolf. It's something right. that changes. And his argument is basically like, okay, well, then how do you explain all these different subspecies? Because then are we technically still monkeys? You know, like, are we... You know, chimpanzees, we share so much DNA, but it's just a little bit different. So just because it's not naturally you know, it didn't happen naturally, so to speak. I don't know.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting.
Because if you, like, you could, in theory, take a, like a chimpanzee embryo or whatever, change that DNA, you know, because what do we share, like 98% DNA with a chimpanzee or something like that?
Something like that.
That's very close.
Yeah.
You could change that DNA, use the gene editing software to change that and have a chimpanzee give birth to a human. Right? Like, there's definitely some ethical problems with that.
Yeah, right.
But then are you going to say that that's not a human?
Right.
Just because a chimpanzee is the thing that gave birth to it and you had to, it was, you know, it was like artificially created. Like, that's the part that I struggle with, is because in my head I'm like, that makes sense. Like, it seems like it would be a dire wolf. Like, regardless of how you got there, if that gene sequence matches what it, you know, what they would what have been,
be, yeah,
you know, thousands of years ago.
Yeah, and that's, it's hard to argue. Like, yeah, it's...
And they had, like, part of their DNA was, like, I'm going to get these numbers wrong, but part of their DNA was, like, 5,000 years old, and some of it was, like, 14,000 years old or something like that. And they could tell the difference between those two times, or, like, those two, because one was, like, a tooth, and the other one was something else, like a different bone or something like that. They could tell that it was that they're looking at the same gene sequence, and it had changed minuscule amount, you know, just like sizes or something like that.
Right. Do you know why they're doing it?
The main goal for that was not just de-extinction, but to help animals who are on the, like, endangered species list.
So they're just kind of using the dire wolf as a test run.
Yeah, pretty
much. More or less.
So they want to do woolly mammoths in Siberia, but they also talked about species that have, like, really, really, really low numbers. So, you know, like a white rhino.
Right.
Can we take white rhino, like actual white rhino DNA, and, you know, have a black rhino give birth to white rhinos and keep white rhinos around for, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that seems reasonable. Like, I don't, but then are you going to be like, oh, that's not a real white rhino? Okay. So in Jurassic Park, was that not a real T-Rex?
Right.
Was it artificially created T-Rex?
It's like bananas. Like the bananas that we now have.
Yeah, because it's GMO.
Right. Because we artificially made, you know, I don't remember what happened to the original ones, but.
Well, it's like selective farming.
Yeah, right.
It's the same thing that happened with corn.
Is it not a real banana?
Yeah, because you want a banana that's bigger, doesn't have a bunch of seeds in it, you know, whatever.
Right.
Has most of the fruit instead of having, like, whatever. But it's the same thing with corn. Like, natural corn is not this giant cob and, you know, with a bunch of corn kernels on it.
Yeah, it's an interesting point of, like, how much do we, you know, mess with nature to make sure it stays around? You know, it's like, how involved do we want to get with, like, you know, making sure other things don't go extinct.
Well, I think something like the woolly mammoth or possibly even the dire wolves, because I know they touched on that a little bit on the Joe Rogan podcast, but I think for me, the number, like the Tasmanian tiger, the thylacine, mm-hmm. is one that they talked about bringing back as well. They want to bring that back. Things like that make total sense to me because it was largely due to human influence that those species went extinct. So then I totally understand where people would feel a responsibility to bring those species back and kind of restore the ecosystem and restore nature to what it was before we kind of influenced everything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, how does that then fall into play with, you know, a completely extinct species, like a dire wolf that was long gone by the time humans were, you know, really, I mean, before, like, modern history, before we kind of knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
Like, a thylacine, the last thylacine died in the 1900s.
Right. It's not like, I mean, just like, you know, if the buffalo would have went extinct.
Yeah.
100% 1800s, from just overhunting and, you know, market hunting.
The American bison.
Yeah, American bison. Sure. You know, would we want to bring that back? Probably, because, like, we kind of messed that up.
Yeah, or like elk. I mean, elk have been so many times from hunting, especially in states, not necessarily like nationwide, so to speak. Yeah. But
I know I've heard like the meat eater guys talk about it a lot, where they're like, oh, we want to bring them back to like historical ranges, historical values,
yeah,
stuff like that. But it's like, what time in history are you picking? You know, you don't want to take, you know, and bring back the elk to, you know, all of its historical ranges, because part of that could be, you know, freaking California or something, where like we don't want them there.
Yeah, you don't want them walking down 8 Mile in Detroit.
Right. You know, hey, what date in history are you picking for that? You know?
Yeah. I think more of what they're talking about with something like that is bringing back numbers. But again, yeah, man, I mean, look at the problem. If it's all a
wooded area, you know, or like...
But look at the problem that Michigan has with whitetail. We have so many vehicular incidents, right? So many vehicle crashes, yeah, right, with whitetails. And just in the state of Michigan, not to mention the other five or whatever states that have thousands, tens of thousands of deer killed by vehicles, you know, or vehicle crashes, whatever. Even if it doesn't really mess up your vehicle, people are hitting deer all the time.
Yeah.
And all times of the year. It's not just in the fall or just in the spring. It's all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if we brought back, we want elk numbers in Michigan like they were, you know, in the 1830s. It's like, well, that's a problem, because you're going to have a lot of people die from hitting elk in their cars.
Right.
Like, you could hit a deer in a small car, and it might total your car, and it might scare you a little bit. You might get hurt a little bit, but you hit an elk in a small car, you're done, dude. The thing's going to land on top of you. Yeah. All you're going to do is take its legs out, and then boom, falls on the hood and roof of your car.
God, that would suck, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like hitting a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Like that to me just, so that's just another, you know, to your point, how far do we take that?
Right. Yeah. What do we want? Do we want a, you know, bunch of dire wolves running around?
Well, yeah, and to that point, it's like, oh, it's not a real dire wolf. Okay, well, what makes a species? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Can you really call Kentucky elk if they're really just Rocky Mountain elk? You know, or vice versa.
Right.
Like, those species intertwine. Like, we know a coos deer is still a whitetail deer. They're just smaller, like, subspecies of whitetail. So are coos deer still white-tailed deer? Are they their own thing entirely? I mean, we consider them a different species, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are.
Yeah, we're kind of getting into the weeds, but it's interesting.
Jared, what do you think about these dire wolves and everything?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of that is we have scientists that determine animal species, and I'll let them tell me what to think.
That was kind of the argument, is like, he had some scientists saying, you know, hey, based off of how we classify a species, this is a dire wolf. And then there were other scientists like, well, actually, we classify species like this. You know, like, everyone's divided because they're trying to, what he talked about is they're not scientists. They're not a university. They don't have to have their papers published and things like, you know, nothing has to be
peer reviewed
and all that.
No, I'm on the side of things need to be published and peer reviewed and all of that.
And all I was saying is their point that they were trying to make is they would have some groups that would have peer reviewed papers and, hey, this is how we classify a species based off of this. And they're saying that is a dire wolf. And then there's another group that comes in that also has peer reviews or are trying to get their paper peer reviewed or whatever, saying that it's not a dire wolf. So that it's that the differentiation between the two is like, okay, well, what are we going to go with? Because you can't say that this works for one species and not for another. You know, it just goes against whatever they're trying to do. that's, I mean, it's kind of tricky. If we were going to bring back, like, right now, if you were in charge of bringing back one species that was that's extinct currently, what do you think you would bring back?
I don't know. I'd probably say either, like, woolly mammoth or, like, saber-toothed tiger would be pretty sweet.
Yes, I was going to say saber-tooth.
Yeah, pretty much, like, bring back the cast of Ice Age, and we'll be all right.
The giant sloth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that giant sloth would fuck up a human.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I want him to bring back the Barbary lion.
I don't know if I'm familiar with it.
Just a giant lion.
Really?
Yeah.
They have that big bear, too. What is that big bear called?
The land sloth?
It might be.
Oh, the short-based bear. Short-faced bear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Those things are scary looking. I've seen drawings of them and stuff. And it's like, whew.
Or an Irish elk. That would be cool.
I don't know what that is either. I'm not well-versed in extinct animals, I guess.
I'm gonna pull up a picture.
It drinks Jameson.
Yeah.
Right?
We're both idiots. Don't know anything. We're just like, Ice Age.
Right? I've seen Ice Age 1, 2, and 3.
Dang. Justin is dedicated. So this is an Irish
elk. Wait, you haven't seen all 3 Ice Age movies?
I don't know. Probably at some point.
There might be even more than 3. I don't remember.
This is an Irish elk. It's kind of like a cross between a moose and an elk.
That looks like freaking Lord of the Rings, the thing that the elves ride on.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay.
Put it up to the screen, Nick.
There's a wicked glare.
No, I can kind of see it. That's wild.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, because, so those went extinct from, like, selective hunting. Because they were, like, trying to cull the population.
And they're like, oops,
too far. Well, they did it successfully because they wanted to keep shooting the ones that had, like, larger and larger antlers. But then their antlers got so large, their necks couldn't support it. Like,
oh, really?
Like, yeah, literally, like, high-fence deer sometimes.
Oh, damn.
Where they're just, like, dragging their antlers in the dirt. And, and so it just, like, slowly kills the animals.
Wow.
Yeah. And then overhunting because it's a cool looking animal. But
yeah, I would hunt the shit out of that.
And it's
ethically.
Yeah, right. I mean, whatever. It is what it is. What we need to do is go down to Texas and hunt oddads with Jared. That would be sweet.
Sounds good.
That would be cool.
Let me know when.
I don't even know if you could buy it. You probably can't buy an over-the-counter tag.
I have no idea how that works.
I feel like you'd want to do it with a guide, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to go do an out west hunt and spend all that money to go there, buy the tag, get the equipment to do so, and then just, like, wing it on a species I've never hunted before.
You'd have to do a lot of research. I mean, yeah.
I would want like a semi-guided hunt where like they'll show you how, like, to get to the animals.
Yeah, maybe
they'll tell you about
it. General area.
Right. But like you do the stalk and the final shot, like you do all that yourself. You know, if it's just you in a group, they'll like help you pack the animal out, but they're not like butchering it for you. They're just like they're giving guidance, but a lot of times on those fully guided trips, they do everything for you.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want
you're
to
staying in a giant lodge and you got breakfast every day
and they're packing it out for you.
And they're packing it out.
I don't want you to pack it out for me.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if I'm by myself and I shoot, you know, if I shoot an odd, whatever, if I shoot an animal, no matter what, I shoot a mule deer and I've got a bunch of quarters. And I've got the equivalent of like 150 pounds on my back with gear and, you know, the quarters and all that. It's like, okay, yeah, I'd like some help packing this out so I don't have a 150-pound pack. But,
right.
You know, if you've got a couple, but like if the three of us were to go hunting, there's no need for that guide to carry any meat if we shot something. What do you want to hunt out west? I want to do like mule deer and pronghorn soon for sure.
I want to do elk. I'm not really super interested in mule deer. I would do it, but I want to say like I really want to do it. Or like a spring bear hunt. I feel like that'd be fun.
In Alberta?
Yeah, somewhere.
Or you want to do a grizzly hunt?
I would like to hunt a grizzly, but I don't know.
I don't. Why? Think, I don't why think spring though? Wouldn't they be super small in the spring?
No. Yeah. I mean, it is different, but I don't know. A lot of people hunt spring bears.
I feel like you'd want to get them in the fall when they're all fat, get ready for winter.
Yeah, I don't know why. It seems like more out west they do them in the spring more than the fall. Like around here, it's only the fall. We don't have a spring season. I don't know why that is.
You can't do it. Like, you can hunt black bears in Montana, but I don't think you can hunt. I don't even know if there are black bears in Texas. Jared, are there black bears in Texas?
I don't know. I just moved down here.
A resident Texas expert.
A resident. Are you even a resident yet?
Give me a month. No.
Okay.
Probably not until I have to renew my truck plates. Then I'll try.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to look into that.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. A bear hunt would be really cool. I want to do a trad bow hunt. Like, if I ever draw for a black bear. And honestly, shame on you. If you are planning this bear hunt next year and you're not planning on taking your bow.
Oh, I'm going to do my bow. It's probably not... I don't know if it's going to be next year or... It probably won't be this year. I think it's next year or the year after when I'll be able to draw. It kind of depends on what the preference points do. But, yeah, I'm planning on doing it with my bow.
Good.
I already got one with a rifle. I don't...
That's what I'm saying.
You know, what's getting another one with a rifle? It's going to be the same thing.
And what'd you shoot that thing at with your rifle?
30 yards.
Yeah, I was going to say max 30 yards. But I've seen you. You could make a 40-yard shot with your compound. Easily.
I freaking hope so.
I think you have a low confidence level because of that deer. But I think you're a lot better than... You were when you shot that deer.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't shoot nearly as much. Yeah, I need to just get some deer down. Like, I need to, like, I wish.
You can.
Yeah.
You just need to do it.
I just got
to
do it. I didn't have time to hunt this year. I think I only went out with my bow once. Actually, I don't even know if I went out with my bow at all.
I don't know. We'll see what the deer regs do, because if tags are only... If doe tags are only $5, I'm going to max them out.
Yeah. I just don't have a ton of time to, you know, I need to either link up with you and go on Scott's property or what, just to get some does down.
But, yeah, it wouldn't even have to be Scott's property. I know so many farmers that would let us go hunt does.
Really?
Yeah, they don't care because they just need deer numbers down.
Yeah, I'd be all for that.
I mean,
because you know, just on public land, like where I'm going and stuff,
you're not going to be successful in jack pines until it's the rut, which is why
you have to put just the time in. Like, you're not going to get in a deer every single time. And like right now, I just don't have the time to do that.
But your deer spot, the only reason that is successful is because it's the rut and deer moving around. Like, there's no reason for the deer to be in the jack pines. It's not great cover. There's no food for them there.
They got, no, it's up there. It's, I'll bet my cabin at least with the jack pines. It's awesome cover. Like, you can't, it's thick. And because they're young. And
okay, gotcha.
Not a lot of food, but there's enough food that they can just chill in there. They don't have to leave.
Yeah, I guess it's probably different for, well, then it is harder for tree stand hunting even then. Because then even if they are in there, if they're not moving around.
Yeah, I've got into deer a couple times up there just before rifle season, which, you know, yeah, is the rut. But even the late season, we haven't sat a ton up there. We haven't done a lot of bow hunting up there, mostly rifle stuff.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to spend more time bow hunting up there. Because it'd be completely different because it isn't the rut. And it's not, there's not all the pressure of people once all the downstate hunters go home.
Yeah. It is so weird to hunt deer like early season during like early archery season. It's so much different. The behavior, like I feel like deer are just so much more chill in October.
Yeah, I used to love hunting the, when I was hunting with a trad bow a lot, I would just hunt the white oaks.
Yeah.
You know, when you get a good acorn crop and you're just, every day you're finding, you know, the most recent white oak.
Yeah.
And I was getting into deer all the time and it was so fun. But you have to be out there almost, I mean, I would hunt all 3 days of the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
And every single weekend.
It's a huge time commitment to.
But it was like the first, really the fun. First 2 or 3 weeks of season were pretty good. Really the first two. And then.
Probably because they're still on summer patterns.
Yeah, they were still on their summer patterns. So you could do a bunch of scouting beforehand and those patterns are still true. And then once the white oaks hit, you know, acorns start dropping, you know, they're going to be somewhere in that area. You just have to, you know, try to put together what, you know, which tree they're going to be at.
Yeah.
But then after that, when the acorns kind of dry up, it gets a lot harder until the rut kicks off. But that's the whole October lull thing. You know, the deer are still there. You just got to find them.
Yeah, they just do weird stuff. Like shifting patterns. That's why it's nice to have a big enough property to where, like, I mean, even the property that I normally hunt, it's still affected by, like, shifting summer patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's like if you go out there in August and you see, you know, 30 deer out in the field, by the time November rolls around, there's still going to be 30 deer in that field. They might be in a different part of the field. They might show up at a different time. But for the most part, they're still going to make their way into that field.
Yeah.
Because they just, I don't even know what they're eating. They just browse. And they just kind of make their way through the field and they're just eating like grass, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I've always struggled with is the late season, you know, after firearm deer season.
Yeah.
And you get mid to late December trying to, you know, it's like,
man, it's like strictly travel patterning.
Right. It's like, what the hell are they doing?
Or bedding. And they just catch them, just get as close to the bed as possible.
You got to hunt the bedding. But it seems like they're not, it just seems more erratic from what I've seen. You know, it's like you find a couple beds, but then.
They change all the time.
They change all the time. And it's like, okay, you know.
Yeah, it seems like every year for about 3 days, I'll have deer bed in our backyard, in the back corner there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. It's like they'll sit in the bed for 3 days, and then I'm like, oh, there's deer back there. A week later, nothing. You know, snows over again, and you don't. They're gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they spent a couple of days there just chilling, and they move on. And I think it mostly at that point is like once the snow flies, the deer are going to move around because they're trying to find food. You know, so like if you had a standing bean field or something like that, by the time the snow flies, right, they're probably still going to keep hammering that.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a lot harder for deer to find acorns when the snow's on the ground. Because if you get 6 inches of snow, now they got to dig through 6 inches of snow to be able to find acorns. And then they're frozen acorns. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that part is a little bit tricky. Jared, are you back here yet?
I am back. I cracked a beer. I didn't know if you guys could hear it or not.
I heard
the sweet sound of bush apple.
Nice.
Bush apple.
I haven't seen bush apple here yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, I got, all they had were 12 packs. I got two of them. There was only one left, and last time I was at the store, they did not restock. It was completely gone.
People are hammering it.
Down here, I do not get much outdoor, outdoorsman experience, kind of living right in the city, you know. But it is nice because the apartment area that I'm on, there's like a ranch. Pretty good size. Well, as far as Texas is concerned, it's not. But like, it's a good chunk of property. And the apartments, like if it's a big rectangle, the apartments kind of take up like one tiny little corner of the rectangle. And so I can see back there, and usually I get to see some deer while I'm walking the dog.
That's pretty cool.
Sent a picture in the chat. But
yeah,
that's my one little taste of home, kind of.
Nice.
Get to see the tiny whitetails.
Yep.
Are they noticeably smaller?
I don't know. Like, they won't come up to the fence, really. So,
have you tried throwing some corn over there? My
binoculars are packed away. What's that?
He said, have you tried throwing corn over there?
Oh, you know what? I didn't think of that. Is baiting illegal in Texas?
Dude, I don't know. You're going to have to look at your own deer eggs.
It's a ranch, too. So, like, I just be like, oh, yeah, it was the farmer or whatever.
That wasn't me.
I think
just blame it on one of the other apartments.
I think they're like the same size as far as like physical size. They just don't have the like fat content.
Where are they? Is it coos deer in Texas? Do they have coos deer?
Maybe in like really far south Texas.
Yeah,
I don't think. I'm not sure.
I don't know where to be honest with you, where that line is.
I think it kind of spread where I've heard of coos deer is like southern Arizona and like New Mexico, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously Mexico. But I don't know. It's kind of strange. I'm sure there's a map that kind of shows their range, but.
Probably.
Yeah. I don't know. I watched Crispy's Oklahoma whitetail hunt. Like they look cool. They just look skinnier than deer around here for their antler size. And they don't get as much mass. They have points and whatnot, but like they just don't get as much mass.
They don't get the swamp donkeys.
Yeah. Well, and they won't get those like chocolate brown antlers unless they're in a whole bunch of timber, you know?
Yeah.
So, which is what Vivian talked about last episode. It's like a lot of the mountain bucks are in the timber all the time, and so they've got like these really dark brown antlers, which is pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet.
I'll have to take out my binoculars, and I can run inside, grab them real quick if I see deer.
Yeah, there you go.
You should just carry them all the time. Going for a walk, just take the binoculars.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Everyone will think you're a weirdo.
Right.
They probably already do.
Have you met your neighbors and stuff?
Kind of. It's a lot of military people down here. Like, it's the whole area is mainly military people. So
really?
Yeah.
So you're just like, I'm a sign guy.
Yeah, pretty much. It's either, nice. Oh, you military or spouse or related or what? It's like, oh, yeah.
My wife. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, a little bit shorter episode, but I think we're going to wrap things up. A little tester. We'll have to do some more experimenting with everything, but yeah.
Yep.
Well, cool. Glad it worked out.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty sweet. So,
see if
figure yeah, out hopefully it sounds all right. And
some other stuff for next time.
Okay. Sounds good. So, yeah, we appreciate everyone for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, we'd appreciate it if you give us a follow on Instagram, Knox and Nature_podcast. And we'll catch you guys in the next episode.